This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Kuhn, and we'll have a report from Sierra Doctor as well. It will remain cool to begin the week, but dry weather will keep the combines rolling. The National Weather Service has no rain in the outlook for the balance of this week. A change is possible next week, though, with a chance of moisture increasing. Good harvest conditions are expected throughout the Corn Belt this week. Argentina and Brazil are also expected to get some rain this week. Argentina has been very dry, and more moisture is needed for crop development.
Russia hitting Ukraine's capital city of Kyiv this morning with a series of so-called kamikaze drones. Before the strike, similar drones hit a sunflower oil terminal at one of the major Ukrainian port cities.
Government officials from Ukraine, Turkey, and the United Nations met this weekend to discuss the Black Sea grain deal. During that meeting, Ukraine's infrastructure minister said this grain corridor will continue to operate after the current deal expires November 19th. Last week, Russian President Putin said that agreement may not be renewed.
During this week's Communist Party Congress, Chinese President Xi Jinping is expected to win an unprecedented third term. Xi kicked off the political event over the weekend. Xi addressed numerous topics, including food security and self-sufficiency.
The value of the American dollar is hurting the competitiveness of U.S. grain in the international marketplace. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says there still is demand.
Our strong dollar, and you can see that with our export sales numbers this week, were a little bit dismal. But we've sold a lot of soybeans once China has come back to town. We've sold a lot of soybeans since Wednesday, just this week. So that's been somewhat of a bright spot in the export market.
Shortage of beef and cattle in the marketplace has increased more than just demand. North Dakota State University Extension Ag Finance Specialist Brian Parman says the cost of pasture has gone up hand in hand with cattle prices increasing.
If we look at national average prices, pasture land values in the U.S. 2008 through 2022, this 11.5% jump nationally is the biggest jump since 2013 to 2014. And if we recall that 2014 year is the year, you know, calves approached $3 a pound for feeder calves, and bred heifers were super, you know, expensive, $2,500, in some cases $3,000 at auction in 2014. So that was a 10.3% jump. This year, though, or from last year to this year, 11.5%, the highest certainly in about the last couple of decades for pasture land values.
Parman says historically, land values have followed the commodity markets.
And then you look at cropland values nationally. The biggest jump prior to this year was that 2012 to 13. We remember that corn prices were up in that $6 to $8 a bushel range, soybeans approaching, you know, $15, wheat prices strong. That was a 13.7% jump, 12 to 13, 21 to 22, 14.2%. So the largest single year increase in the last couple of decades for cropland as well.
Crookston farmer Kevin Capistran is working on corn after finishing up his harvest of sugar beets and soybeans. Capistran still has sunflowers left to harvest.
Sunflowers, we decided not to desiccate this year just because of the timing of when it looked like it was going to hit versus beet harvest. And so that 19 degrees there a week ago was our free desiccation. And so we're just waiting for the moisture to come down enough now that we can go after them maybe. Maybe we'll have to dry them, maybe not. We'll see when we get out there.
Capistran hopes to break into the sunflowers this upcoming week.
2-3 days we can wrap the corn up and get the sunflower head on and start taking a nibble and see where they're at. So I'm pretty sure we got a lot of volume out there. If we got good test weight, then I think we got good yields. So last year that was the thing that really made the crop. They were really heavy, really good test weight. If we can duplicate that this year, I think we'd have a good crop again.
Railroad engineers and conductors are voting on the tentative labor agreement between Class 1 railroads and the union. Vote will continue for the next month. One of the major unions already rejected the contract, putting a possible strike back on the table.
Following the 3-day dairy pricing forum, the American Farm Bureau Federation and National Milk Producer Federation have issued a joint statement. The last major update to the federal milk marketing order took place 22 years ago. The two ag groups said it's time to consider improvements to reflect today's milk market. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. While most farmers are busy harvesting, it's not too early to be thinking about next year. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
Northland Seed and Service owner Lee Dahl is harvesting and says now is actually the best time to think about next year's seed varieties. The evidence of what worked and what didn't work is right in front of the combine. Dahl says supply chain shortages has thrown uncertainty into product availability for seed and inputs.
With how the world has progressed with anything in agriculture, we're doing things earlier and earlier every year. So we're looking at, you know, the first set of discounts, especially for the Pioneer side, we look at a lot of those. The first set of discounts comes off at the first end of October here. So we've got a long selling season between here and December. But yeah, there's been a lot of guys that have been already, you know, sitting in their combines and thinking about next year and looking at what their crop rotation might be. And maybe there is a little bit of uncertainty with the amount of moisture that we've got in the ground right now, especially right here locally.
Factor in the growing drought across the Midwest, and farmers have more decisions to make this year.
Well, as of right now, I mean, at the end of the day, we've got a lot of seed selections that are based on a lot of different factors with disease packages and maybe some agronomic factors, but dryness tends to be one of those things that we're not 100% focused on, but there are some drought-tolerant hybrids that tend to do a little bit better in higher stress areas with a little bit less moisture. So we can kind of point growers towards some of those hybrids in the corn lineup, and the soybeans, where we don't have that kind of technology really implemented yet, but on the corn side, we do have some of that technology that's available to us today.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Global food insecurity was a common theme during Sunday's World Food Day. The U.S. Agency for International Development Administrator, Samantha Power, released a statement saying millions are facing unprecedented hunger and malnutrition. Power blamed the effects of the pandemic, climate change, the Russia-Ukraine war, and the high prices for energy, food, and fertilizer. Power went on to highlight emergency food assistance programs and investments in farm production worldwide.
Brugler Marketing and Management President Alan Brugler is long-term bullish about the cattle market. That's because of where we are in the cattle cycle.
For multiple reasons, we flushed a lot of heifers into the feedlot system, and so now you're going to get into the window where you have fewer calves and fewer steers available. So long-term, we're friendly to the cattle. The biggest issue short-term is we've got big cold storage stocks, stuff we ran through the packers earlier that hasn't sold yet, and we've also got some concerns about recession and what that does to beef demand.
Beyond Meat, which produces plant-based meat substitutes, is cutting 200 jobs and has issued a warning to investors about its revenue outlook. Beyond Meat Chief Financial Officer Douglas Ramsey is also leaving the company. Ramsey was suspended in September after an altercation at a college football game.
The United Soybean Board is investing $400,000 in research, analysis, and design costs for an expansion at the Port of Grays Harbor in the Pacific Northwest. The North Dakota and South Dakota Soybean Checkoff Councils have also invested in that project. The upgrades will allow that terminal to increase soybean meal exports from 3 to 6 million metric tons. That project is expected to be operational sometime in 2025.
The Mexican president has named a new economy minister and chief trade negotiator. The U.S. and Canada claim Mexico is violating the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement in a dispute over energy policy. The new trade negotiator may signal a new direction in those negotiations.
Bayer is hosting an event today in Germany highlighting ways farmers can reduce their ecological footprint while increasing yields. Topics include the development of a hybrid wheat and a carbon initiative that provides a revenue stream for farmers for adopting certain farming practices.
While 98% of U.S. farms are family-owned and operated, most Americans believe less than half of the farms are family farms. A survey of 1,000 adults nationwide conducted by Land O'Lakes found 87% of those surveyed were interested in knowing more where their food comes from. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. University of Minnesota Extension Regional Soil Educator Jody DeYoung-Hughes says fall tillage worked against farmers with how windy this fall has been.
Yes, I've seen a lot of fall tillage, and that's kind of the problem with this nice dry weather, is that we have plenty of time to go out there and do our fall tillage. And there is no rain in the forecast for the next few weeks, and I really encourage farmers to back off the tillage this fall, just because we are so dry out there.
However, according to DeYoung-Hughes, the lack of moisture this fall is not necessarily a bad thing.
There's a couple of great benefits with a dry fall. One, we're not creating compaction out there with our wheel traffic, so we don't need the tillage to till that back up. The other thing is that we have the deep cracks, that because our soil is so dry and it's cracking, that is doing deep tillage for us. As deep as those cracks are, that's how deep our tillage, you know, tillage in quotes, is going. So that's a real benefit to the dry fall. A disadvantage to a dry fall, besides, you know, we will get more wind erosion, is that we're wearing out our chisel points a lot faster, because when the soil's hard, you just go through your shanks and points so much faster.
The end is in sight for the sugar beet campaign. Sess Vanderhoff sales manager Nick Revere says yields are average, which is good considering the late planting date and the sugar content improved late in the season.
Oh, well, we're seeing, you know, we started out in the, you know, 15, 16, and we're ending up to, you know, we're probably getting an average day of maybe 19 right now, with a few fields maybe a little above that. So with you take the early harvest and you average that with the 19 that we're getting the last couple, 3 days, the average for the whole year is going to be pretty good.
Checking markets, we are 10.5 higher right now for Minneapolis wheat, 964.75. The March contract, 11.75 higher. Chicago wheat, a gain of 13.5 for the Dease contract, 873.25. And hard red winter wheat, same contract, a gain of 11.25. We're just a fraction higher in corn, 0.25 higher at 690 for the December contract. March, even money, 696.25. Soybeans, November, 0.75 cents higher at 13.84.5, and March soybeans, $14.25. That is down by 0.75 cents. The Dow right now trading down by 400 points. As we check in on the farm calendar, the North Dakota FFA Foundation has its first ever blue and gold gala. It'll be held November 5th in Fargo. The North Dakota FFA Foundation has more details, and invite folks to attend, participate in that foundation fundraiser. Also, as we look into the calendar, the U.S. Canola Association is planning its autumn board meeting. They'll be in Arizona. The dates for that meeting, November 10th through the 11th. And North Dakota State University has a series of Women in Ag sessions, including November 7th, a session on tax planning in McCluskey. This is the Red River Farm Network.